You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Jacob. Thank you for joining me. This is Hunt Detail. And on last week's podcast, we talked about the best dates for the Red Moon this fall. And I gave you, I think, around 10 different dates to consider. And just as a refresher, the Red Moon is not like a lunar eclipse blood moon event. And it's not moon phase. So those are the things that it's not. The Red Moon, as theorized by particular hunters that believe in that this theory, is that it's when the moon is what is termed overhead or underfoot, meaning the moon is closest to the Earth at these points in time during its elliptical travel or orbit around the Earth. So there are times when it's in the northern hemisphere, really close to, you know, to me in the northern hemisphere, and that's considered overhead, and it's when it's at its closest point. And then when it's at its closest point, I guess in the southern hemisphere or on the other side of the globe, that's called underfoot. And so when that happens during daylight hours, especially during the morning or the evening hours, those that believe in the Red Moon they believe that deer, particularly mature bucks, are on their feet, maybe moving just a little bit further, a little bit more than they might normal. So if you're interested in that podcast, please go back. But I'm, again, trying to refresh the concept, because we're going to talk about moon phase now. We're going to pivot into the moon phase discussion, which there are other groups of hunters that really follow the moon phase. Now, I don't have a dog in this fight. I think it's interesting. I did look back at the last four kills that myself and then my son have had. I shot two bucks this year. One of them I did not recover. I do believe it was lethal, but I've done everything I can to try to find him. And I looked at the times for the two bucks that I killed, and both of those kills were on Red Moon days, meaning that the moon was overhead or underfoot during daylight hours. Now, it wasn't a particular time per se. It wasn't like, you know, the moon was overhead at 1 p.m. and I shot this buck at 1:01 or anything like that. And then my son's buck was also a Red Moon day. And then a buck I killed last year was also a Red Moon day, quote unquote, Red Moon day. Now, there are lots of those, but not, you know, fewer, of course, where the Red Moon is sort of intersecting early in the morning or late in the evening, with sort of within an hour of sunset or sunrise, which is really what I tried to focus on last week's episode of those best dates. But you can go to sullunarforecast.com and look at, maybe identify dates and times that are, you know, you feel like are better. If you feel like you would prefer to hunt when there's a quote unquote red moon in the middle of the day, then, you know, those you can find, you punch in your zip code on that website. And so, again, I don't have a dog in this fight. I just think it's interesting to look at. Now, I will say there's a study out of Auburn University, I think it was published in 2016, that looks at overhead and underfoot, and it was published by Jeffrey Sullivan, who is out of Auburn, and some other folks, and they collared 38 male deer from the period of August 15th to January 1st, which I thought was a really good time frame. And they found that the overhead underfoot periods was actually, less predictable or worse for predicting movement. They used, I think, somewhere in the neighborhood of 56 feeders, 59 feeders in a forest in 5,000, almost a 6,000 acre tract of forest in South Carolina. Now, I do not know if these deer were hunted during this time or if this was sort of a fenced in area or what this story was, but ultimately their findings sort of poo-poo the red moon or the overhead underfoot dynamic. Now, it seemed like they were alluding to some correlation between moonrise and moonset, and even I'm sort of looking through my notes here. Some probability of activity increasing with moonrise and moonset. And I would encourage you to check out that study. If you go to the Hunt Detail Instagram page, I'll provide a link to that. If you hit the link tree, or if you go to the YouTube page, you can also find a link for that study. If you're interested in looking at that as it relates to overhead, underfoot, red moon, that sort of thing. Now, let's pivot off of that and let's talk about moon phase. Now, we all are very familiar with moon phase. That's full moon or a new moon where you don't see the moon at all, or a crescent moon, or waxing or waning. And so there, in a different study that was completed a number of years ago. In fact, I'm going to look at this. I don't have a, I think, okay, January in 2010, so it was published 14 years ago. But this included Stephen Webb. Another name you would know is Bronson Strickland. And Dr. Strickland has been very outspoken about how there's no correlation between moon phase and deer movement. Now, this study is quite dated, and it has a lot of limitations in it. This was published in the International Journal of Ecology, and I mean, it just, I was really disappointed by this particular study. I think there's another study that Dr. Strickland has coming out or going to be published soon. I know he's discussing some of the data in it. I think it includes 50 male deer, and again, showing no correlation between moon phase. This study had 15 males, but it only had, I think, six during the winter, what they termed winter. That was from November 8th through, I think, December 23rd. And then of those six deer, only four or only five of them were mature males. I think one was less than 2 years old. And so, when you sort of peel the layers back on this study, there's a lot of holes in it. But with this new study that I haven't seen, it seems like that might have more compelling data. Like I said, I think there's about 50 deer. And I think that this his study that he's either close to publishing or has published is captured data from deer in Mississippi. This is study I'm referencing is out of deer out of Oklahoma. And ultimately, he's a big he poo-poos the whole moon phase thing. And that's fine. I think there are limitations with these studies. There's obviously, feeders involved. There's, the GPS collars and the ability for those collars to communicate on a frequent basis. I think a lot of times it's every 30 minutes. And, a lot of times when we're hunting, we're looking for, just an inches or feet, or, I mean, a lot of these things when we bow hunt is a game of inches. I know they you hear that term in football, but it's that way true with bow hunting. It's, I mean, if the moon does have an effect on how much a deer moves, or how if he stays out a little bit longer than normal, I don't know, but if there is an effect, certainly bow hunters would be attuned to that, because that's all we need, is just a little bit of a step here, an extra 10 minutes in daylight, that sort of thing. And so these studies do have limitations. Now, a proponent of the moon phase is Mark Drury, and that's where we're going to talk a little bit about. And Mark and his brother, they've stated before that they looked combined at over 3 million trail cam photos of deer that are on their farms. And they're trying to analyze data, barometric pressure, temperature, moon, and a lot of other data points to try to figure out that magic formula. And as a result, they've tried to create this thing called DeerCast, or they have created DeerCast. And the idea there is it sort of helps you look at these factors that sort of come together in terms of big temperature changes. And the way that Mark has described it on podcasts is that the moon isn't, the moon sort of accentuates certain movement, but weather trumps everything. And so that's where Mark has landed. And then there is a study out of NC State that I will sort of reference, that I think by a gentleman with the last name Lackey, that, you know, has found some correlation with moon phase. And I won't really get into those data points, but what I will do is we'll talk about the way that Mark Drury looks at moon phase. And he really looks at a full moon, and he likes the placement of a full moon during the time of the rut. He feels like if it's at the beginning or end of a month, then it tends to cause a trickle effect for the rut. When it coincides with the peak of the rut, a full moon coincides with the peak of the rut, then it accentuates additional movement or additional chasing, he believes. And so, and we'll start to look at some of our dates, but what he specifically says is that 7 days before a full moon and 7 days afterward is where he sees the most movement. And I think that does sort of coincide with some of that data coming out of NC State in terms of full moon. Now, there is other information out there on new moons and quarter moons, and I'm not going to dive into that because it gets a little bit thick in terms of, you know, stand on your right foot and hold, you know, touch your nose with your left hand, or, I mean, it's just like all these different, like this wild dance of things of to do and not do and stay, you know, get out an hour early and all that sort of thing. And so we're just going to focus purely on the full moon phase, because that's what Mark, you know, tends to talk most about when he talks about hunting based on the moon. And again, he says that weather trumps all, but it sort of accents the chasing time of the rut. And again, so now as we look at, I mean, he did say the rut happens the same time of year every year. And obviously the rut is not tied to the moon. I think it does have a connection to the amount of daylight or lack of daylight that is entering a doe's eyes, if you can believe that. It triggers hormonal changes, an increase in melatonin, and that tends to trigger other hormonal changes in the doe. But we won't get into that. But that's not connected to the moon. I think that is pretty well established. So as we look into September of 2024, for those states that do have a September hunting season, this is actually, I think Mark would say, an ideal time frame for the full moon. If the full moon is the 18th of September, as a result, it's going to be, you know, sort of the middle of the month for October and November. And for him, again, he believes that that really amps up the rut. Because if it was a full moon, say September 1st or September 30th, subsequently, when you get into October, November, you're going to have more chasing maybe October 30th. And but the peak of the rut, no, the middle, those middle weeks of November, you're going to see less of that chasing. And he even has stated that, you know, look at those times where you had experienced magic ruts, and look back at those dates and see if those were near a full moon or on a full moon day where you've had maybe I've had this on like a November 19th or November 20th where I've had magic days, or November 7th, which we hear a lot about, and as sort of these magic days where there is a lot of chasing, there's a lot more movement, the rut's still going on, but other years where maybe there's not as much going on those same dates and you start to wonder why, Mark proposes it might be tied to a lack of a full moon on those dates. So looking at September 18th, this coming September, and again, Mark says the 7 days leading up and the 7 days thereafter. So really the 11th through the 25th, and he tends to hunt afternoons on the 7 days before a full moon. So we all know September, that feeding pattern. So September 11th through the 18th would obviously be good days to hunt anyways. But for Mark, those are dynamite days. And as when it goes to the days after a full moon, so let's say the 19th through the 25th, that's when he prefers to hunt mornings. So looking at October, it's sort of the same cadence or same rhythm. It's October 17th. And so evenings on the 10th through the 17th, and then mornings the 18th through the 24th. And then as we get into November, we have a full moon on November 15th. So it's smack dab in the middle of the month. And then the 8th through the 15th, he prefers afternoons. And then mornings would be the 16th through the 22nd. So take note of those dates. I think it's always fun and interesting to think about November and all the things that we get to enjoy when the fall gets here. What's interesting is that the red moon dates that I described in the previous episode don't really coincide with the full moon. So, or at least as I look at November, and again, in that episode, I was targeting the red moon was intersecting with sunrise or sunset. And so, I mean, there is a little bit of overlap, I would say, on November 9th, 10th, and 12th. Those are red moon mornings. But according to Mark's, the way that Mark lays it out, he feels like afternoons are better leading up. And then it flips when you get later on in the month, actually November 12th and 13th, you have a red moon during the middle of the day, and that's actually going to be, you know, a full moon. It's leading right up to a full moon. So, you know, again, those are dates where you may want to consider hunting all day. But we could go on and on about some of the nuance within this. I think it's interesting fodder. I would say don't get married to any particular idea or date or time unless you find that when you do your own research that it actually coincides with certain movement that you've seen or haven't seen, magic days or non-magic days or that sort of thing. So Again, so Lunar Forecast, I have no affiliation with that website, but it just has a lot of this information for you. If you want to look at the moon phase, obviously you can go to that website. Or if you want to look at the moon phase visually from a calendar day-to-day-to-day standpoint for each month, respectively, you can go to moongiant.com. And again, I have no affiliation with either of these sites. It's just where I'm finding this information to share with you. But, you know, I want to thank you for your support. And please like, share, subscribe. Please provide a 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify or whatever platform you're listening to this on. And best of luck this season. Best of luck this turkey season. And talk to you next week. All the best.